This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Lynn Neary in Washington, sitting in for Neil Conan. Here are two words that can strike fear in the heart of anyone who's ever been through school. Report cards. Even if you're way past the point of being graded on your daily work, you know the feeling of slowly making your way home, that sealed barometer of your fate gripped loosely in your shaky hand. And if you ever plotted to hide a report card or maybe let it accidentally fall into an open manhole, then you know how stressful school assessments can be. Well, report cards have changed. They're coming out more frequently, in some districts as often as every 6 weeks. And many schools are now filing report cards electronically, so parents can access them directly without the middleman of the mail or the nervous child. The information a report card communicates is different as well, depending on the school. Parents may receive narrative evaluations or a comprehensive comparison of their child's classroom grades with national standardized tests. While the reporting of a report card may be more specific and complete than ever before, not all parents are thrilled. Some say the report cards their kids get are virtually indecipherable. What's the point of the report card? If you're a parent, do you want a simple answer to the question, how's my kid doing, or do you want more information? If you're a teacher, what do you hope to communicate to parents through the report card? And as students, did you ever feel a report card unjustly assessed your ability? Well, we're taking a measure of how we measure students, and we're taking your calls. The number is 800-989-8255. That's 800-989-TALK, and our email address is totn@npr.org. Later this hour, we'll consider a new international survey that finds boys are lacking behind girls academically, and that the number of girls specializing in traditionally male-dominated fields like engineering is on the rise. But first, report cards. Our first guest today is a professor of educational policy studies and evaluation at University of Kentucky's College of Education, Thomas Guskey. He joins us from the studios of member station WUKY in Lexington. Welcome to the program.
Hello, Lynn. Thanks for inviting me.
You're also the author of a book that's called How's My Kid Doing? A Parent's Guide to Grades, Marks, and Report Cards. Now, are report cards so complicated these days that parents have to have a guide to them?
Well, it is true that educators are going out of their way to provide parents with more and more detailed information about their child. But in some cases, it is true they're also going overboard, providing information that's too much for parents and hence undecipherable.
Like what kinds of information that's just too much?
Well, more and more school districts are moving toward reporting student progress in terms of specified learning standards, specific things that students are expected to learn and be able to do. The difficulty is that sometimes they reach a level of detail that makes it far too difficult for parents to understand. The whole grading process is really more a challenge in effective communication than it is just documenting students' achievements.
Can you give an example of the kind of details you're talking about that just seem unnecessary in some cases?
Well, it used to be the case that teachers would give a single grade for each subject area. So a child would get a grade for math, a grade for language arts, a grade for science and social studies. Now what teachers are doing are breaking those subject areas down into specific skills or standards that they hope students will be able to master or demonstrate some level of proficiency on. So that breaking down is a positive aspect because it lets the parent know whether the child's working on addition and subtraction, word problems, other forms of computation, fractions, decimals, things like that. But it can get to the point that parents find it overwhelming.
What did the earliest report cards look like? When did they first come into widespread use?
Well, report cards are really a relatively new development in our country. There were not really report cards in schools at all before the 1850s. And at that time, we began passing compulsory education laws, and as a result, more children went to elementary grades, completed elementary grades. The number of high schools grew rapidly. As a result, teachers, especially at the secondary level, had increased responsibilities for more and more students. The report cards before were simply oral reports that teachers would give to parents. But with this increased responsibility, teachers found they needed to do this on a more regular basis and find a shorthand way of doing it. So they would report students' progress in terms of percentages, usually in terms of what percent of learning at that particular time of the school year the child had accomplished. Those then were criticized because of the great subjectivity that was involved. Two teachers would look at the same level of performance and give a different percentage to it. So educators resolved that in the 1910s and 1930s and went to fewer categories, using at first a sort of pass-fail system, then an exemplary pass-fail, generating gradually to the five-level system that's so popular today that we then equated to letter grades.
The A, B, C's, D's, and at one time it was E's, and now it's F's?
Precisely. We used to use the first five letters of the alphabet, but then in the middle of the 60s and 70s, it's, as you said at the beginning of the program, students began trying to convince their parent that E actually represented excellent. So educators translated that and moved to an A, B, C, D, F, F meaning failure.
And what's wrong with that system, which is what many people, I think, grew up with? What are the problems with that system?
There are not really problems with the system. It's just that the way the grades are interpreted today and the way teachers are interpreting the grades are different from the way parents interpret the grades. Most parents interpret grades under the system that they grew up, where teachers graded everything and their performance was compared to that of their classmates. The problem with that sort of system is that you really don't know if anybody's learned very well. The grade doesn't tell you that. The grade only tells you that how you did in comparison to those people in your same class, all of whom might have done very poorly. So this new system, teachers are trying to grade or evaluate student progress based upon very specific standards or expectations for student learning. And so a middle grade now of C does not necessarily mean you're in the middle of the class. It means you're at a level three in perhaps five levels of performance.
We're talking about report cards and whether they make the grade. If you'd like to give us a call, we're at 1-800-989-8255. And let's take a call from Marcy in Scottsdale, Arizona. Hi, Marcy.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thanks.
I have a ninth grader, and we've been doing the electronic report card system this year. It started in August. And I'm really happy with it because we check his grades weekly. It tells me all his tests and quizzes. And rather than letting things go too long, it lets us know immediately where he's lacking, and he can immediately go in for extra help, which is available to him, fortunately. And also, what I think is important about the system, ours is called Edline.net, it lets us email the teachers, so it keeps our communication with the teachers constant. And I think it's really, really helping us, and we've already been noticing a difference.
What was the what kind of system was your school system using before that?
He just started. This is a new school. It's only been in operation 2 years, so they're actually trying this system themselves. Prior to that, it was the mail system, and the grades came out at the end of the quarter, and it was too late in some cases.
Huh.
You know, we just didn't know where he was lacking, and then catching up just became a harder thing to accomplish.
Well, that's an interesting point. Thomas Guskey, this is becoming more widespread, the use of the electronic report card?
Absolutely. More and more school districts are moving in this direction. And the great advantage in that is that it does provide parents with much more regular information on their child's progress in school. As we've interviewed parents, we find that typically parents will indicate to educators that they want to receive report cards more often. But as we pressed that a bit more, we found it wasn't that they necessarily wanted the report cards more often. It's just they wanted more information and on a more regular basis. The electronic reporting system allows that.
Yeah, there are two things she said that struck me that I think are really good. And one is that you don't wait and then find out too late that something is your child's really having a problem. And then the other is that it allows you to communicate and have a dialogue with the teacher about what's going on with your child on a regular basis.
Yeah, I think that both of those things come into play. And the modern technology, both through email and online access to reports on the student's progress, have really increased the level of communication and the quality of the communication between teachers and parents.
All right, let's take a call from Marshall. No, I'm sorry, it's Marcia, and she's in Louisville, Kentucky. Hi, Marcia.
Hi.
Go ahead.
Thanks for taking my call. Hello?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay. I just wanted to make a comment. I am a teacher in Jefferson County in Louisville, Kentucky, and we recently just turned in our grades yesterday, so this has kind of struck a chord for me. At any rate, when your guest was talking about the grading scale that is prominently used, the A through F, I just wanted to mention that in a lot of places in the states, the F has been discarded because of the the psychological repercussions of, oh my gosh, my child's failing, or the kid even himself saying, oh my gosh, I'm failing, and then they don't want to try anymore. So we switch to, instead of having an F as the lowest grade that you could possibly get, having a U, which it really doesn't make a big difference to the teacher, because either way, the kid's not doing what they need to do in class. I just wanted to know what your guest thought about that in terms of the psychological repercussions of changing that.
Do you think that makes any difference, Professor Guskey?
Well, yes, Lynn. Actually, there's a lot of evidence to indicate that it does.
Hmm.
And many schools have moved exactly in this direction. They've abandoned the use of failing grades and instead will give something like an incomplete, indicating to the student that if it's not done well, we're not going to accept it yet, that there are other things you have to do, and we're confident you're going to bring it up to this standard, but that means additional work will be required and additional effort on your part will be mandated.
Marcia, are you still there?
Yes.
Do your report cards, when you're preparing them, do you just give letter grades, or is there a narrative? Do you write something to the parents as well, or?
Well, we have our grades come in the form of our grade sheets come in the form of a Scantron, so we bubble in the grades. You have the opportunity to put like plus or minus, and there's also some comment bubbles, but you're not allowed to put as many things. Like there's some kids that, you know, excellent student, contributes to class, you can bubble that in. And then, you know, there's a bubble for please contact teacher, but you can only fill in three things. So you don't really get the whole...
So it's not like you're sitting down and writing something individually about the child.
No, no, no. But a lot of students, I've taught at two schools since I've been teaching it, and a lot of students have the opportunity to do a weekly progress report.
Mm-hmm.
Not just for kids that are doing poorly or having behavioral problems, but kids that also are doing well in school, their parents request a progress report. And then on that, you are able to, you know, put your own comments.
Do you ever get parents or students arguing with you about your grades?
I have students more often than I have parents. Parents at the school that I've been at, the parents have been pretty supportive and pretty understanding as to what, you know, I present to them in terms of their students' grade and their students' progress. But the kids are the ones that want to moan and wail about the grades and try to haggle. I had a kid today, actually. He had a 34%, and he wanted me to give him a D, and I said, there's no way that I can give you a D. Well, come on, Ms. Carmichael, please give me a D. And that's the kind of thing that you deal with.
All right. Thanks so much for your call, Marcia.
All right. Thank you.
We have an email here that I wanted to read to you, Professor Guskey. I always objected to report cards that marked me down for does not participate. I was a painfully shy child and had trouble speaking up in front of the class until well into my senior year in high school. What about that? Those kinds of skills being graded?
That's a real problem, especially in our country, because throughout high schools and most middle schools, teachers are required to combine all these diverse sources of information into that single symbol. And so homework, class participation, quiz results, project scores, everything like that get combined into a single grade, so that the child who is not participating might have learned everything very well, but still receives a lower grade because of this other components being added in. Canadian high schools actually face this a bit differently. In Canadian high schools, they give multiple grades. And so the child receives an achievement grade that would be derived from things specifically developed to measure the child's achievement. But they would also get a separate grade for homework, a separate grade for punctuality of assignments, a separate grade for class participation, a separate grade for effort. So you get a profile of the child's performance in school. And the parents and teachers both seem to really like that.
Hmm. Do they average it out? For one final grade? No?
They do still have things like a grade point average and class rank, but they use only the achievement grade to derive those. They do not count these other factors in that determination.
All right, we're talking about report cards. What are you looking for when you see your child's grades? Call us at 800-989-TALK. I'm Lynn Neary. It's Talk of the Nation from NPR News. This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Lynn Neary in Washington. We're grading report cards today. Thomas Guskey from the University of Kentucky's College of Education is with us from member station WUKY in Lexington, Kentucky. You're invited to join the discussion. If you're a teacher, what do you hope the grade you give will communicate to parents and students? Give us a call at 800-989-TALK. And our email address is totn@npr.org. With some new report cards, it's not just students who get the grades. In Philadelphia this year, report cards will include an assessment of the parents' performance. It's a grade for home support. Joining us now by phone from Philadelphia to discuss this innovation is the head of the Department of Early Childhood Education for the School District of Philadelphia, Donna Bakarsky. Welcome to the program.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thanks. What exactly is being assessed by this home support grade?
Well, first I want to put a disclaimer. We're not viewing it as a report card for parents, but really as a home support checklist. And our purpose is to inform parents that we think, you know, the educational process is a collaborative activity between the school and the home, and that there are some things that are essential supports that will help children succeed.
So when you say it's a checklist, you're not giving a grade, you're just going to check off whether the parent is participating in that way or not?
The item will be checked if it needs attention.
Oh, I see. And what are some of the items that you're assessing?
The items are things like the child's homework assignments are complete, the child has necessary supplies, pencils, notebooks, things like that. The child brings home and returns textbooks. We just invested $18 million in brand new reading and mathematics textbooks and are sending them home at night. And so to us, it's important to know that they're going home and coming back.
Do you think this assessment really will affect the way parents deal with their kids at home or the support they give to students at home?
We're hoping so. Our superintendent keeps saying these are gentle reminders to parents, and that's how we're viewing them. We're saying there are some things that we need the home to do, and if they're checked on the report card that they need attention, we're hoping that that will inform parents that those things do need attention. Parents may be unaware that the children should be bringing these books home, and or that they're not wearing eyeglasses. That's another thing on the checklist, that the children is wearing eyeglasses if they're needed, or hearing, you know, assisted hearing devices if that's necessary. And sometimes parents don't even know children aren't doing those things.
How would you take into account sort of different stresses that may exist in different homes?
Well, you know, we're prepared to deal with that also. We have a wonderful relationship with our home and school council, executive council. This year, Mr. Vallis is putting a family support help desk at each school, and we're hoping some of the information that we learn from this checklist will help us bring some needed supports. If we're seeing that there are some families that really do need help with contacting social services or connecting with some supports in the community, that this will help us bring those supports to them.
Thomas Guskey, do you see any problem with this it's not a report card as we've been told, but for want of a better word, this kind of parent report card? Or Thomas Guskey?
Our evidence on parent involvement indicates that in most cases, parents will become more involved with their children's education when, and sometimes only when, they get very specific guidance from schools and the child's teacher in particular about how that can be done. The challenge here, I think, will be to make sure that information is seen as informative and helpful, not necessarily as critical or demeaning to parents in any way.
And Donna Bakarsky, have you sent these out yet and gotten any response or even response to the very idea?
They haven't gone home yet. Our first report cycle is December, but we worked with the Home and School Council in developing these, and we vetted it through them. We've had meetings with parents to show them our intention. We've gotten a very positive response. I mean, certainly there have been some parents who don't like the idea and view it as, you know, grading parents. But I must say that the emails and the phone calls are 10 to 1 on the positive side rather than the negative.
All right. Well, thanks so much for joining us today.
You're very welcome.
Donna Bakarski is the head of the Department of Early Childhood Education for the School District of Philadelphia, and she joined us by phone from Philadelphia. If you'd like to join our discussion about report cards, you can give us a call at 1-800-989-8255. Let's take a call now from Nancy in Portland, Oregon. Hi, Nancy.
Hi. I have a fifth grader and an eighth grader, and we have report cards that seem to change yearly. Even within each school, the report cards often are not consistent from one classroom to another, and they haven't so far been consistent across the whole district. Often what they look like is there are lots and lots of columns. Each subject is broken down into lots of different topics. And then the kids get little checks and pluses and minuses, and the report cards talk about developing or beginning reader or a more advanced reader. So I can't stand these report cards because they don't tell me if my child is learning what's expected or if my child is at the appropriate level for his or her grade and for the time of year.
Now, do these report cards come with teacher comments that are personally written or any kind of teacher comments?
They usually do have teacher comments written. And one of the things that happens in both these comments and in teacher conferences is I think people are afraid to make anybody feel bad. And so they're always saying, you know, Johnny is a pleasure to have in class, or Johnny is improving. But that still doesn't tell you whether the child is learning what's expected at that particular age and time. And so it's really difficult, unless you're in there advocating constantly, to know whether or not your child needs extra help or extra challenges.
Yeah. Let's see if, Professor Guskey, I get a similar kind of report card. So I'm curious about this. I my daughter goes to a school where it's more sort of, you know, the skill is being consolidated or it's not consolidated. Or
it's touchy-feely instead of actual information.
Well, a part of it, I like the well-written teacher comments, but I get a little frustrated because I can't tell where she stands in relation to other kids and exactly what you're saying. There's some specifics that I feel I don't get.
Mm-hmm.
Professor Guskey, I'd love to hear you talk about these kinds of report cards.
Well, Nancy, you've identified the major problem that school districts are facing now in their efforts to revise the report card. The first is that there's tremendous inconsistencies, even within a district, about what's being done on the elementary, middle school, and high school level. So many school districts are trying to resolve those differences. But the second is actually the premise of a book that I prepared that came out last year entitled exactly what you asked, How's My Kid Doing? Because we found that school districts were going ahead and developing these standards-based report cards, and they'd go home to the parent filled with checks and pluses and S's and N's, and the parent looked at it and said, fine, then how's my kid doing?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Or how's my kid doing compared to everybody else in the class, which is the question they asked because that's the system they experienced.
All these standards. You know, we've got statewide standards and benchmarks that the children are supposed to be meeting. And then, of course, now they're the federal standards. And there have always been some kind of reading standards. They're supposed to be at a level 16 by the end of first grade and a level such and such, I don't remember what else, by the end of second grade.
Right.
And it's impossible to figure out from report cards or even half the time from parent conferences whether your child is going to need extra help, whether your child is racing ahead and needs extra challenges, or what's going on. Not even in comparison to the other kids in the class, just what is my kid doing?
Yeah,
exactly.
I've been all through my kids' education. I've been in both of their classrooms a lot, in some years at least once a week. And I could see that one child maybe isn't doing what he should be doing in one subject, and the report card comes home, and it's just gobbledygook.
Right.
All right, thanks for your call, Nancy. I'm going to let the professor respond to your comment now.
Yeah. What some school districts have done to resolve this dilemma, and it's a very real one, is that each marking period as the report card goes home, the teacher gives not one mark, but two marks for each standard or competency. The first mark would indicate that child's level of performance or proficiency with regard to the standard. So it could be not beginning, just starting, in progress, mastered, extended, something like that. But the second mark would be an indication of where that level of progress is compared to the teacher's expectations for this time of the school year. So it could be that a child is just beginning a skill, but that could be ahead of what we would expect. In another case, a child could master a skill, but that could be a little bit behind what we would expect. So your question is the appropriate one. It's not how my child compares to everybody else in the class, but how does my child compare to what you are expecting at this time of the school year, and is there something I need to do to intervene in this process to make sure they're making adequate progress?
You know, I had a friend tell me a story about her child who's got those kinds of report cards and was having some problems, and I think at a certain point turned out to have some kind of learning disability, but she got really upset when she happened to see another child's report card, and this child she knew was light years ahead of her own child in terms of skills like reading and mathematics, and yet their report cards looked almost the same, and she was furious about it.
Well, sometimes educators, in regard to these standards-based reporting, report them in terms of progress, not necessarily in terms of a specific product. So a product grade would say, here's where your child is compared to where we would expect and what we want at this time of the year. Progress would say, here's where your child started, and this is how far they've come. So those two things get confusing in a reporting system, and it's really necessary for educators to make that distinction clear.
All right, let's see if we can get another call in here. Wolf in Sag Harbor, New York. Hi.
Hello.
Go ahead, Wolf.
Well, all I wanted to say was to make a point about my personal experience when I was involved in the public school system in New York. During my course of in school system receiving report cards, et cetera, I received nothing but derogatory comments from my teachers, low grades, problems with participation, acting out, et cetera. And my parents were very worried that I wasn't progressing at the same level of you know, children my age, certainly, and had doubts about my future. Turned out later when I took the I believe it's the Iowa State intelligence exams and IQ test that I turned out to have an average IQ of 142, which is, you know, somewhat above the average, to say. Anyway, that's my only comment, is that there was nothing but errors in the way that I was recorded as progressing. And feel that, you know, it was a bit inappropriate as I succeeded in all of the areas in which they seem to expect me to fail. I'll take my response off the air.
Okay, thanks for your call. Professor Guske?
Well, he makes an important point, Lynn, and it gets back to that idea that we described earlier where teachers combine so many diverse elements into a single grade. So a child who misbehaves, who is late turning in assignments, whose work is messy, all those kinds of things can influence the grade the teacher assigns. That it's really incumbent upon educators at all levels to make sure we separate those things and indicate clearly what the grade is to mean. And if it's an achievement grade, to be able to pull out those things that might have to do with behavior, attitude, or the other kind of things a child may bring to school.
Thomas Guske is the author of How's My Kid Doing? A Parent's Guide to Grades, Marks, and Report Cards. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. Besides evaluating a student's academic performance, some schools are also assessing students' health. Arkansas is the first to implement a statewide reporting policy on a student's physical well-being. Daniel Whitehorn joins us now. He's principal of Pulaski Heights Middle School in Little Rock, Arkansas, and he joins us from his office there. Thanks for being with us.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
Now, as I understand it, parents in Arkansas are going to be getting a home health report card for their children. What is it exactly?
Yes, ma'am. The health report card that they get will be on an annual basis, and basically it's where the schools send to the parents the body mass index, known as a BMI for short here. And basically that's where they calculate the child's height and weight ratio, and they apply it to an age-appropriate growth chart, and from that they get the BMI for the student, and that's to tell the parents to give them an idea if their child is overweight.
Why did the school system decide that this was a good thing to do?
Well, because obesity in Arkansas, over overweight and obesity is a big problem here. Over 60% of adult Arkansans are either overweight or obese. Other problem is that overweight adolescents are 70 to 80% more likely to become obese adults. So it is a big problem here in Arkansas.
Has this been tried anywhere else, and what's the success been with it?
There have been a few school districts across the nation that have, you know, that have tried this in various areas, but this is, as far as I know, this is the most comprehensive approach that I've seen to dealing with this problem, because this Act 1220, you know, the BMI is the one that, the thing that has gotten the most attention, but this is a very comprehensive act, and it's where they're looking at the overall health and nutrition of kids in the school, and they're looking at a number of factors here. They're looking at the formation, they're forming a child health advisory committee that's already been formed, actually, and they're looking at the, you know, the curriculum. They're looking at things, vending machines in the school, and they're looking at, you know, if that's appropriate. In elementary schools, vending machines, for example, have been banned. And they're looking at forming advisory committees in individual school districts to look at the curriculum and physical education and see that nutrition is being taught in the school. So it's a very comprehensive approach to dealing with the problem of obesity here in Arkansas.
Well, thanks very much for joining us today.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Daniel Whitehorn is the principal of Pulaski Heights Middle School in Little Rock, Arkansas. Professor Guskey, does this strike you as a good idea?
Well, it's a very different idea. I think that certainly we want to do some things in schools to provide healthy food for children who attend there. We also want to do the best we can to make sure that we have high-quality physical education programs and health education programs. But whether this kind of information will lead to improved health practices or not, I'm really uncertain.
Thomas Guskey is the author of How's My Kid Doing? A Parent's Guide to Grades, Marks, and Report Cards. When we come back from a short break, we're going to wrap up our conversation about report cards, and then we're going to talk about a new international survey that says boys are lagging behind girls in school. The difference between boys and girls in the classroom is coming up next. You can give us a call about that at 800-989-8255. That's 800-989-TALK. Or send us an email at totn@npr.org. I'm Lynn Neary. It's Talk of the Nation from NPR News. Right now, we're talking about report cards. My guest is Thomas Guskey. He's a professor at the University of Kentucky College of Education and author of How's My Kid Doing? A Parent's Guide to Grades, Marks, and Report Cards. Let's go to a caller now, Shefra in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. Hi, Shefra.
This is Shefra.
Shefra. Go ahead.
Yeah. Okay, well, we have progress reports issued weekly at our school every Wednesday, and they're emailed home to our parents, so you can't take them and destroy them or something. So, anyway, I think they're a good idea because they have a column of every assignment that you've had to hit, and it tells you your grade, and sometimes it includes the class average for that assignment, too, so you can see how you're doing in relation to other people.
You like this system?
Yeah.
Do you get good grades, Shefra?
Yeah.
I thought so.
I'd grade them probably.
I figured somebody got good grades would like that system.
Yeah.
And did you have another system before, a different kind of report card, or have you always had this kind of report card?
Well, I used to live in Cleveland and would only get our report cards twice a year.
Uh-huh.
At the end of each semester, you'd get a report card, so you wouldn't even know whether you're doing well or not up until then. But I think this way is much better.
What do you think about the idea of your parents getting some feedback as well as you?
Well, they seem pretty happy with it, and they have to sign it and give it back to the teacher to prove that they read it.
Uh-huh.
So.
All right, well, thanks for your call, Shefra.
Okay.
It was good talking to you. Well, this is, again, somebody else coming in and talking about these new electronic report cards, and they do sound like a good idea. Do you think this is a good trend, Thomas Guskey?
Absolutely, and I think Shefra's story was a perfect one, that indeed, report cards can be not only for parents but also for the kids to let them know how they're doing and how they're getting along in school and the kind of things the teacher's expecting. So the more information, the better.
All right, let's take a call from Cheryl in Rockaway Beach, Oregon. Hi, Cheryl.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Oh, you're welcome. Go right ahead.
I'm both a parent and a teacher. I teach second grade with the overseas school system, the dependents of military people overseas. And my children are now grown with children of their own. As a teacher, I have always thought that the more information that I can give a parent, the more frequently I can give it to the parent, the better off both the parent and I are, and ultimately the child is. I also feel that way as a parent, that it's incumbent upon me to stay in very close contact with the school. And I'm talking about not relying on report cards so much as to how my kid is doing, but on fairly frequent personal conversations with the teacher, and to see the relationship as a cooperative relationship instead of adversarial. I know as a parent that we are all scared silly for our children, and I know as a teacher that my primary job is to reassure the parent that their child is in a place that is that's going to facilitate that child's growth both emotionally and academically. As far as report cards are concerned, I tell parents up front that the most important aspect of that report card is the personal comment section, and that quite frankly, we're going to exchange far more important information at conference time or when they drop by the school, every couple of weeks to see how things are going on.
Let me ask you something, Cheryl, about the personal comment, because a parent called up before, and I've heard other parents say this. And this is not when the child is a problem, but when the child isn't a problem, and you get those. She's a lovely child, a delight to have in the classroom, but you're not quite sure. Yeah, that's true, but how are they doing? It's still that, but how's my kid doing kind of feeling. I mean, how do you address that in those comments?
Well, for one thing, because I teach second grade, I'm in the field of early childhood education. And there's something we talk about called the developmental continuum that speaks to the fact that children develop, particularly in the ages between 4 and maybe 8.5 or 9, children develop at very different rates. And the thing that's important is where they are at the end of that period of time rather than where they are at any given moment during that period of time. So I'm more interested in reporting to the parent that the previous caller talked about, she's frustrated with when she hears the comment, my child is making progress. Actually, that's the thing that as a parent I want to hear, and as a teacher, I want to report your kid is progressing about where they ought to be progressing, and if they continue to progress at this rate and there being no intervening circumstances, learning disabilities or behavioral disorders or that sort of thing, at the end of third grade, that kid is going to be exactly where they're supposed to be. Even if they're not the star of the class right now, that kid has the right emotional input and the right basic building blocks to be where they're supposed to be at the end of third grade. I think that's terribly important. And I think one of the things that the schools, that we have not been as proactive, we have not been as competent as we should be, perhaps, is communicating this to parents, is talking to them about specific research studies that talk about the developmental continuum or that talk about the different ways that kids learn. I think that's something that's incumbent upon the schools to do something about.
All right, thanks so much for your call, Cheryl. And just one last question, Thomas Guskey, is there a perfect report card?
No, there's not, Lynn. One of the things that Cheryl brought up, though, that's an important point, and we're trying to help educators understand, is that there's a variety of ways in which educators can and should communicate with parents to break down those barriers between home and school. And often we have not used those very well. In a survey we conducted, for example, we found that over half the parents that we talked to told us they feared phone calls from school. And when we pressed, we found that the reason they responded that way is they said, I only get a phone call from school for one of two reasons. Either my child is in trouble, or my child is sick or hurt. So here's an easy device that educators can use in better ways to communicate good things about their child and good things about the kids doing in school that we haven't used very well. So I think that as educators begin broadening the variety of devices they use to communicate information, thinking about phone calls and email and letters and other kinds of communication devices, we'll be a lot better served.
All right. Thanks so much.
Thanks for inviting me. It's been a real honor.
Good. Thomas Guskey is a professor of Educational Policy Studies and Evaluation at the University of Kentucky College of Education. He's also the author of How's My Kid Doing? A Parent's Guide to Grades, Marks, and Report Cards.